the Dork Podcast. Rich Keith, it's the Dork Podcast.
Brian Davis,
it's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag,
it's the Hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keith, joined as always by Davey Eyeballs. He is Rudd Von Dud. All hail the King of Ginger Ale. That's Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
You know, I think that several romantic, past romantic relationships would refer to me as a Von Dud, but that, joke's on them.
That's right.
So,
because you're killing it.
I am crushing it right now. So, joke's on them.
Not to start the podcast on a crass note, or I just ate a ton of buffalo chicken dip and my stomach is fucked right now. It is so fucked. Like, it was almost immediate exit stage left. And I was it's a problem.
It is. I thought something might be up, because usually when we do these types of things, you're on before me.
Not today.
I usually do like 5 to 7 minutes prior, just to make sure everything works, make sure everything, but
not today.
Not today. And there's certain amounts of food where I start eating and I say to myself, there's like this thing in my head that says, like, this is going to be a problem for you.
Stop eating it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know why. It was pretty good. I thought it was good. And then it must have been.
You
know, it's like, we don't want to be in here. So that's where I'm at. Hopefully everybody.
Make sure you got plenty of shit tickets in the house. That's what we call toilet paper in the Davey household.
Shit tickets.
Or not what we call it.
We call it shells from Demolition Man.
The three shells.
You need the three shells.
Have you dabbled? I know we don't really work toilet humor very much on the Dork Podcast, but
no, that is definitely true.
Where is your experience with a bidet?
Like next to none. I don't have any experience with that.
Remember, I used to live in Medford. I had one, and now I have my sister-in-law, like, basically like re-gift. She's like, she got one in like a work swap and just gave it to me. She's like, here, this is your Christmas present.
Look, I'd never leave the house. I would never leave the house.
It's phenomenal.
I'd just be clean ass. Great. Now, do you wipe and then bidet, or you just bidet?
You bidet, and then if you do it well enough, you can just pat dry.
Wow. Dangerous game.
It's a dangerous game. I usually give it a rip just to make sure.
Yeah.
And then you pat it dry.
Remember Tosh.0 would do the no wipe challenge, and they would
I might have bowed out of that show too soon.
Yeah, so like all the guys that worked in his office, and like whatever they would deuce, and then they had to go like the rest of the day without wiping, and then at the end they had to show how it went. Not great.
Did you see the video? Yes. If you haven't, you have to do it for Key for Madness. I'm sure you've already done it already. The guy who like talks about toilet paper, how he like poops into the toilet paper.
Yeah,
like he holds underneath.
No, that was on some. That was on some other. Like,
no, I know. Right? Yeah, I know, but you should do it for Key for Madness when you're just like this guy talking about. He's like, so you just let the dude who hit the water? They're like, yeah.
What? Yeah, that guy was great. I gotta find that.
Like, he's like, what if you have diarrhea? They're like, what if you have diarrhea?
it's a problem. Oh my God, what a way to start. If I get up and leave midway through, at least everybody knows why.
And I'll just carry the show by myself.
Just hang in there.
Like, you're hanging me out to dry, like I'm Rich Keefe on evenings. You know what I mean? See what I did? See what I did?
Out there by myself. Hey, yeah, I did. I saw what you did. Guess what?
Yeah.
I'll just tell us, just between us.
Yeah, just between us. No one's listening.
New show open coming this week.
Oh.
Yep. Spanking brand new show open.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. That's going to make me tune in.
The show open that I made is getting mixed reviews, although, and that's not true, people hate it, but like people are coming around on it, like on the text line.
What you said? I haven't heard the show open. I'm obviously listening to you on the radio since you've been on it, but like I haven't heard the open. Is it the Tom Green show thing again?
Did you wind up doing that? It's pretty cringy. Even Katie's like, this is not very good. I thought I had it on my desktop. I could just play it for it. No, I don't have it. No. But yeah, it's just me doing like the Tom Green thing, and then I play a beat that I like afterwards. It's like very like, oh, Rich got GarageBand and just put three things together. But yeah. I like it.
Who do you think you are? You think you're fucking Timberland and Magoo out there? You think you can just banger after banger? You can't.
Opie the Poet, you're goddamn right it is.
You're goddamn
Opie
right it is.
Coming in large and in charge. Put it together. Sounds fantastic. So probably play it 2-3 times a night. Just the songbird
of our generation.
Uh-huh. Absolutely is. Mm-hmm. Man can put some words together. Put it at that. All right, Ryan. That's nothing rhymes with orange. All right, let's get to this. By the way, that open right there is Norris the Terrible. Did you see he's got a new single out there on Spotify and Apple iTunes?
No, I have to check that out. I haven't heard from Marcouche in a hot minute. I should probably reach out to him and see what he's up to.
Yeah. So he's in a band. It's like a folk rock type of band.
Yeah.
The one song that I heard, pretty goddamn catchy. And so,
do you remember in college when I used to play like open mic nights, what my stage name was? It was akin to Norris the Terrible, but it was a...
Yes, it was Cool Ethan.
Cool Ethan.
Yeah.
Yep.
Both good names.
From Heinerecker Hall.
Uh-huh. Not bad. well, Ryan, I'll tell you what. Right now, as we are speaking live, Sundays at 9, that's our new, if you wanted to tune in on YouTube, that's when we stream these live. Kind of unfortunate for us because it's the exact same time The Last of Us is on. So I'm going to watch it at 10. I know you're probably going to watch it at 10, but Last of Us premieres tonight.
It does. And my exact language to my wife, who could destroy me in more ways than one, I said, listen, whatever bullshit you have on the TV when I get out of that room is the fuck off. And she's like, I said I would watch the show with you. It's not that big a deal. Like, okay. You've been talking to me about this for months. Like, obviously I'm going to watch the show with you. I'm like, yeah, you're fucking right, Yara.
She's
like,
goddamn right.
And she's like, yeah, that's what I said.
The bullshit right now, to be honest. Yeah, I can't wait. I forget if it's 8 or 10 episodes.
But not enough. Either way.
Not enough. And I feel like we're going to have to maybe amend when we do the finale. I don't know if we can wait a whole week to do the recap episode or like our standalone on it.
I don't think so.
But we'll have to figure this. Let's see. The Last of Us. Give me an episode count on here. No, it doesn't. Come on, you bastard. Why not? Anyway. And it just has first three listed and directors, right? Okay, whatever. So HBO gonna be the show of the year, at least one of the shows of the year. We're excited about that. Since the last time we were on, Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania had their trailer. They aired it during the college football championship game, which was not very competitive.
Not a competitive game.
Let me ask you this: is Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania going to be the best MCU movie since Endgame?
Yeah, I don't think it has very stiff competition. I think they've been decent. But again, I mean, this is kicking off. I mean, so technically Black Panther, I really did enjoy Black Panther. So I never gave you a score on that, I don't think.
No, because you caught it afterwards. What'd you say?
Hard five.
I think that's probably what I had. I liked it a lot. Yeah.
I liked it a lot. And so I feel like the first act was incredible. Mm-hmm. The second act was in the third, they brought it back around again. But I very, very much enjoyed Black Panther. Now, to that point, I mean, this is truly kicking off the next phase of the MCU. So I feel like if they got to get the ball rolling again, and this is the movie to do it.
I agree. And I love Paul Rudd, obviously. That's why we're talking about him today. And the Wasp, I think both of them are good. And then Kang the Conqueror has a chance to be the best villain. Maybe in the entire thing. Like he's on that level. Like he could go down as the best MCU villain. He's got challengers, obviously, 4, 5, 6, maybe deep. And but he's right in the mix after Loki. So I think it does. Like I would say Black Panther might have been, or Wakanda Forever might have been the best since Endgame. You also had Spider-Man No Way Home, and you had, I guess, Thor Love and Thunder. So I mean it's probably either Black Panther or Spider-Man.
I'm pretty sure I gave No Way Home a 6, so this has to be better than that. Yeah. Okay. I fucking love that movie.
Speaking of a 6, I believe I gave Yellowjackets Season 1 a 6. Season 2 trailer is out. We tweeted that out at Dork Podcast. And Season 2 on Showtime premieres on March 24th, so we're just 2 months away. So The Last of Us tonight kicks off, like, I don't think we're going to go a very long time now without a really good TV show on at least one night a week, maybe even more.
I can't wait. Can't wait for Yellow Jacket season two.
And just for you guys, we will do it in that voice the entire time.
Because like why not? Have to.
Here's a show that was not included in our TV. Because again, they don't do a great job of telling you when TV shows are coming out. Then all of a sudden it sneaks up on you like, here it is. So this wasn't even included in our TV shows to look forward to podcast, which you can go back and listen to. Bob Odenkirk has a new one. It's called Lucky Hank. And it's on AMC by the Better Call Saul people. And it comes out on March 19th. So even a week before Yellow Jackets, Lucky Hank, which I assume is going to be a must-watch show.
And I don't know much about this show other than the IMDb description. It follows William Henry Devereaux Jr., a born anarchist and partly in the fact that his department is more savagely divided than the Balkans. I don't know what that means.
I don't know, man, but it's Bob Odenkirk and he has a beard in this one.
Sure does.
Bearded Bob grizzled. Dave season 3 is also coming out in a few months. That's snuck up on us.
Yeah, I found that on Instagram. Like I was looking at, I follow Christine Coe and Taylor Mishak, obviously.
I mean
on Instagram. Please. Who doesn't?
Please do.
If not. But I find them to be both very lovable.
Yeah, both
and probably nice people.
Sure.
Fuck. Do we still have issues with Gata?
Yeah, no, I think he has issues with us.
Yeah, that's true. False. We are false.
False. I think the problem's all on that end towards
probably
us.
All on him. Yeah. So we have no problem with Gata.
Season 3 is in April. So
what a run of it. We are in the fuck movies. We are in the golden age of television right now.
Television's killing it.
Yeah.
I said it's gonna be really tough to top last year, but we'll see. I mean, how many deep does it have to go? It probably has to go like 15 deep to match last year. Cause like I was going through it and like I just finished a couple weeks ago. I finished Wednesday. Like that's a really good show. We didn't even really talk much about like We Own This City. Like some of these ones got buried down the list. And you're like, so this year, just to match up with it, that's like that many that are a 5-stone or better season. So we'll see.
I know I've asked you this before, but I never remember. Do you watch Yellowstone?
I do not.
People are all over me about this show.
Yeah, I'm out on that. I got no interest.
You know what? You know, I think I said this too. You know what did me in was like I didn't know that the first episode was like 2 hours long. Oh, so I'm just like looking at my watch the whole time. Like, can we fucking? Where's the chase? And when do we cut to it here? Huh?
2 hours.
Yeah, it's bananas.
Jesus Christ!
Yeah, I don't have time for that.
I don't want to watch that.
Ugh.
Fuck. Anyway, I have a couple things. Maybe I'll mention them in pick of the podcast because I guess it's probably more relevant to that than it is to This Week in Dork. I have some shit I have bought this, but I forgot to download them. The Sunday episode sneaks up on you. I'm so used to doing Monday, being prepared for Monday. And then it's like, oh, yeah, we said we're going to do them on Sunday nights. So I don't have them. But I have a few. Send them in, by the way, podcast@gmail.com. And we got a whole bunch.
You're having a nice supper of just buffalo chicken and with cream cheese and dip.
Terrible.
And then all of a sudden you're like, oh shit, we got to do this.
Literally, oh shit. And that's why I wasn't prepared. I showed up fucking 30 seconds before. I didn't have a drink. I normally have a drink when I do this. I'm all out of spirits.
Honking out some melting brown snakes.
Not good. Dude, it's not good down there. It's not good down there.
Oh man.
I wish it wasn't true. I wish I was just putting you guys on.
Now, when you make here's the issue that I have. When a lot of people make their you're married to a culinary expert.
She bought this.
So there's my question. So like when you make this buff chick dip, is she it with canned chicken?
Dude, I don't know what the fuck it's with, but it's a problem.
Because if it's canned chicken, you're going to have real issues.
I'm having issues.
You're going to have it. Yes, you are.
Ask me the connection because my shit's fine.
Yes, you are.
You know what I keep thinking about? Because Jordan put it in our year in review was when we were talking about MacGruber. And that scene where he's at the bar and he just needs to distract the woman and get her to turn around. And he's doing a million things and she doesn't turn around ever. And then he finally goes, you gotta turn that head. Turn it. Turn that head. So good.
I tuned into that. I started giggling when we started talking about, for no reason, just eating condoms for some reason.
Yeah, don't eat them. Don't you kids fucking eat those things.
And I was like, why did we? But it was like one thing to like, it would have been like a one and done joke. That would have been funny. But we carried on with it for like minutes. Like, I don't know why.
Don't eat condoms. Seriously. Just, you don't need to listen to the rest of the presentation. Just listen to this. Don't eat condoms. Like, put your hand down.
PSA.
Put your hand down.
Yeah.
I know what your question's going to be.
Don't. No. You're going to want to. Don't.
Yeah, I know what you're thinking. I know you're like, it's probably pretty
God,
good.
That looks good.
Doesn't. No. It doesn't. It's terrible for you.
What was
you
it in cone heads? Them. In cone heads when they use them as like chewing gum?
Oh, God. Oh. Jordan says, the week after that episode, Wild Bills pulled their sponsorship.
No, I pulled that sponsorship. Let's be okay. We're far enough removed from it.
Oh yeah,
are we far enough removed for it that I could actually say the reason why that happened?
Now a hashtag dork newsflash.
Yeah, so God. I could actually. So I told you that. I told you this off the air. So yeah. They hired this girl. I say girl because she was in college. To run basically like the, what do they call them? Partners, like the partnership people, like the people who were sponsored. They hired her. She was like 20 years old to like run this thing. And they would send me like a mug and like a case. Remember those cases, the shit they would send me, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like once a month. So once a month.
Yeah.
And I didn't get, so she, on the Discord, she was like, hey, if you didn't get your case or you didn't show up, like, let me know. And I didn't get one. So I was like, hey, I just want to let you know, like, I usually get one and blah, blah, blah. And I never get it. And she goes, all right, I'll get back to you. She comes back to me and is like, well, we're not sending them to people anymore who don't post on Instagram or who don't like make a whole thing of it, like with like social media.
You're like,
and I told her the number of listeners we have a month. I said, I have this. Mm-hmm. Amount of people who listen to it every month. Your own people stopped me at Boston Comic Con and told me that I was by far like their most successful partner. And I said, I have a podcast that I plug you every single week.
Right. And because you didn't post an Instagram.
And then she said, well, you have, in order for you to get it, you have to post on Instagram. I'm like, I've been doing a read for you for weeks. And she's like, and she said she didn't know that I had a podcast.
Great.
So I was like, you know what? We're fucking done. Like, what? And she's like, do you want, and she was like, once she figured out, I think she talked to like her boss, like she came back to me like 2 days later and was like, oh, I'm really sorry. Like I had no idea, blah, blah. I was like, you didn't know I had a podcast. Like, I've been doing this for 2 years.
Right.
You don't know I have a podcast.
You should know what your partners are up to.
Exactly. So I was like, you know what, if you're not taking it. And then she's like, tried to apologize. And like, they sent me like one more or two more things. Just like, I was like, no, I'm done. I don't want them anymore.
Sad sodas.
I actually had to tell them to stop sending them.
I don't want any more of your sad sodas.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's
the story. So that's the story of Wild Bills. Yeah.
So they didn't pull their sponsor because we said don't eat condoms because they weren't even listening to that episode.
They were not even listening. So
that's the goddamn problem. Yep. All right, let's get to this, which is not sponsored by them.
It's time for Davey's Video Game Minute, even if it takes more than a minute.
All right, Ryan, what do you have?
Again. I mean, I feel like we're a bit of a down. I'm going to go watch a downer show, but now I'm like, this is going to be a real downer. So the only video game news I have is like Justin Roiland of Squanch Games and of Rick and Morty is in a bit of hot water. Have you read about this?
I have.
So he is now being actually charged with an incident that happened, I believe, in 2020 of domestic violence. And now it's actually coming out that Squanch Games had previously been sued for sexual harassment. He's a bad guy.
A bad guy.
Can somebody
be a good guy?
Somebody, and I bring this up now because look at Paul Rudd. And I believe Barstool is doing this thing now where they have a bracket of like the most universally loved people.
I saw that because that's the first thing you think of with Paul Rudd. But yeah, they came up with I forget how many. It might have been like a 16.
It's 16. Deal. And I think Paul Rudd's like an 8 seed, which is pretty good for Paul Rudd. The 1 seed on one side I saw is Bob Ross, which I was ecstatic. Yeah, and Mr. Rogers is on there, but like Paul Rudd is in the conversation of like universally liked people.
Yeah, it's really hard to do.
Really hard to not.
It's almost, and it boggles the mind how people can pull it off, because there's always one reason to dislike somebody, and it might be a stupid reason, but enough people have that reason, and then it's kind of out there, and you're like, all right, you don't like that guy because of whatever, or that girl.
And I think, like Mr. Rogers, the only people who don't like Paul Rudd are the people who say, well, I don't like Paul Rudd because everyone likes Paul Rudd. They're just that contrarian.
There's no other reason.
There's no other reason.
Right.
And so I say that now. Can Justin Roiland just be more? Can we all just be like Paul Rudd?
Be more Paul Rudd. That should be our motto in 2023.
Yes.
Try to be like fucking Paul Rudd, would you?
Don't be Justin Roiland. Be a Paul Rudd. In a world of Justin Roilands, be Paul Rudd. That's the new motto of hashtag dork. Yep.
I agree with you completely.
How do you feel about this? Now, this also affects High on Life, the game. It also affects Rick and Morty. It also affects Solar Opposites. The Apple Stand Caper.
Fucking Chair and Itty, man.
Fucking Chair and Itty, you know, but that stinks. I don't care for that.
Nope.
And I feel like that's the only thing I'm going to bring up today. I had some like Amaranth news, your girl.
Yeah, poor Amaranth, man. She was in a real bad relationship. Real, but it looks like she's out of that though.
Yeah.
Hopefully she really is.
Yeah. Hopefully she's out of that, but she's still doing her content and whatever. I won't get into that, but we have a lot to talk about. And this is the very first time and probably the last time I'm going to say this on this podcast, as I'm kind of trying to get out of here. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So we'll keep the video game in it to that, because we have a lot to talk about here and we get a lot of show to watch tonight. So
let's go. Let's get it. All right, Rye. Can we even play this anymore?
Y'all ready for bisque?
Oh. That's not Justin Roiland, technically, right?
That's Solar Opposites, though.
Yeah, but what was the name of that character?
I forget. He was terrible with catchphrases, though.
Terrible with catchphrases, yeah.
Well, I'm glad you asked. It's the topic of the day. And today, it is Paul Rudd movies. We're going to pour through the filmography of the one and only Paul Rudd. Of course, Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania comes out 1 month from now. So let's dig in early. Now,
time out.
Go ahead.
The character's name was Fun Bucket.
Great.
Yeah.
Fucking Fun Bucket. All right. So he was in some TV shows, and we'll maybe hit on a couple of those. And so he made his debut in a few like shorts and TV miniseries and TV movies. But really, his first thing was in 1995, Clueless.
He played what eventually turned out to be, by the way, like I recently caught this movie on the television, and, super creepy that the older once stepbrother just kind of hanging around high school kids.
Yeah, like that was one of my takeaways as well, is that like he's obviously Paul Rudd, so he's always going to look young, especially
super charming.
Super charming. He's delightful. But you got Alicia Silverstone there. She's in high school. Paul Rudd's working for the dad. He's in the house, in and out of the house. He seems a bit older to me, a little too old.
I believe he was in college. And if it's true that Cher, played by Alicia Silverstone, was getting her license, she was 16 years old.
Correct.
You're going to have a bad time.
Brittany Murphy, pick of the pod in this. Pick of the pod. Well.
Stacey Dash, her career, a pick of the pod.
Yeah.
Young Donald Faison, who's doing fine, I'm sure.
Yeah, Faison. Yeah, good stuff from Faison. This is a good movie, though.
It's a good movie. It's a good movie.
It's a good start for Paul Rudd, too. Like, he right away in this is very like Paul Rudd. Like, he's very, very charming. Mm-hmm. He's not like over the top hot, but he's not an ugly piece of shit by any means. He's a handsome guy, but he's not like he's not going to get the part of like that Brad Pitt's going to get, or Channing Tatum, or the fucking those guys are going to get.
Right.
But man, he's charming. This is a good film. So what does he do with that? He parlays that into Halloween 6, The Curse of Michael Myers, where he plays Tommy Doyle and he's billed as Paul Steven Rudd. Yep.
And this is just what a dump this movie is, huh?
It's a real piece of shit movie. He has to come back as Tommy Doyle, who obviously is the kid from the first one. So they're like, they're bringing him back. So I actually like that idea, but he doesn't have a whole lot to work with here. And it's funny because so many actors and actresses began. Now, like first or second movie being in like a horror movie, and like to be popped into this at the time, you're like, whatever. He's just like another actor in a bad horror movie, but it's hilarious to go back and watch it now. Like, he does whatever he can, but it's like, you're kind of fucked. That's great.
Yeah, whole, and it's kind of like watching, it's like watching Kevin Bacon in Friday the 13th, or it's like, you know, it's one of those things where you're like, this is just a young kid trying to act.
Just doing
at this point, right? He's a young kid. He's in his 20s at this point, but like,
yeah,
he's just trying to like be a working actor. And like, this is the best thing he's got.
He is 53 years old now.
Looks so younger than me.
In this movie, he was what, fucking 20 something. Yeah. This one. So yeah, but at least he's in the Halloween franchise. Now it happens to be probably the worst.
Probably the worst of them. Yeah.
In the fucking, yeah. At least Kevin Bacon's in like what's now a classic. Like, this is a hunk of shit that Paul Steven Rudd was in. But next year, 96, he is in Romeo and Juliet, and boy, was that like a smash success.
Absolute smash success for, not because of him, you know, because of the, once again, you know, inappropriate. I read somewhere once about this movie that Natalie Portman was originally cast as Juliet, but she was 15 or 16 at the time. Probably, and Leonardo DiCaprio was in his early 20s, so they went with a slightly older Claire Danes.
Yes. Now, you know this? Yeah, go ahead.
So he plays Paris. He plays Juliet's intended love interest in the movie, who then she opts for Julieta, as the maid calls her in that movie.
She goes the other way. Mm-hmm. Did you know this? I think my wife was listening to some podcast or something. She told me about that. Claire Danes was offered the role in Titanic.
Yes.
She turned it down because she was like, I just did a movie with Leonardo DiCaprio, and like, I know it's going to be a huge success, but like, I don't think I'm ready for that kind of role.
No, because I feel like they were trying to make them the young, like Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan. Remember they had like those run of movies where like Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan movies. I think they were like trying to, in a way, do that.
But she turned, like, she basically turned down Titanic.
Which is fine. I'm cool with that.
Made a ton of, no, good for her. I'm sure she's doing fine, but like, that's a whole thing. He was in a movie called The Locusts. Never saw that.
I'm reading too that he was in an episode of the Clueless TV series, but didn't play Josh.
He played Sonny.
Yeah.
I don't know. That seems like an odd choice.
And like Donald Faison, like the rest of the cast, most of the cast was in it, but not Alicia Silverstone, obviously. And Paul Rudd played somebody else.
Weird.
Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Yeah.
I don't like it. Then he was also in The Locust. He was in The Object of My Affection, where he played, I don't know that one. Did you ever see 200 Cigarettes?
I did a while. That was one of those things that I think I might have owned that movie, but only seen it once.
I was going to say, I feel like I saw it in your... So this is a collection of 20-somethings trying to cope with relationships, loneliness, desire, and their individual neuroses. Ben Affleck, Casey Affleck, Dave Chappelle... who else? Janine Garofalo.
Yeah, it's basically every Gen Xer you can think of. But I think the movie itself, if I remember correctly, it's a series of like shorts, like interconnected shorts.
Oh, I think you're right.
And it's just them like just sitting there like smoking cigarettes, like talking to each other. They're like little one act things.
All right. So he was in that. He was also in the Cider House Rules.
Yes. I believe wasn't he like Charlize Theron's like boyfriend who like goes to fight in the war and then like dies or something?
That sounds right.
Or he comes back, but he's hurt. Yeah.
Yeah. So again,
that movie.
That was a heater of a movie. People like that. Tobey Maguire, who apparently he's a bad guy, but he is
not a good person either. I think he's kind of turned it around though. I think he's heard those stories and kind of turned it around.
Maybe. But that whole Jackass and Molly's Game is based off of him.
Yes.
Like that one fucking asshole.
Played by Michael Cera, right?
I think it was Michael Cera. So he's in Cider House Rules. So he's in like a decent amount of hits already by the time we hit 2000. Then you had a couple like TV shows or whatever, and then probably his first, like, Clueless is a comedy, but like the first time I think Paul Rudd specifically made people laugh out loud was in Wet Hot American Summer.
I fucking love this movie.
It's incredible.
I know I've talked about it before, but my love for this movie, I hadn't heard of it, but again, it's all the people from like The State, because I used to watch The State all the time on MTV, and it's all those people. And it was directed by David Wayne.
Yep.
And
he wrote it with Showalter.
My girlfriend at the time was like, "Have you seen this movie?" And I was like, "No." And she's like, "It's like a camp movie, but it's like older people." I'm like, "That sounds dumb." Like, she did like a really bad job of explaining it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, it's like camp, but they're like old. I'm like, that doesn't sound good.
It sounds worse.
It sounds awful. And then, I watched it and I was like, oh my God, this is the funniest movie I've ever seen. And then I told everybody I knew to like, please watch this movie.
The opposite thing happened. Yeah. So you, I think, got me onto this forever ago. And I remember liking it and loving it. And then, like, it was literally like 5 years ago, maybe. So I've been with my wife more than double that. Yeah. And she was actually like a camp person. Like, she went to camp when she was younger. And she has this sense of humor. She'd never seen it. She'd never heard of it. And so I don't think I brought it up because I just like assumed that she had. And then like one night, I think it was on Netflix. I'm like, oh, you've seen this, right? She's like, what? No, what is this? I'm like, oh. So I watched it.
But you kind of like, you kind of lean into that or like roll your eyes, but like, all right, now we're doing this.
I'm like, well, popcorn going. And so this is honestly one of her favorite movies now. She fucking couldn't believe that she hadn't seen it. She loved it. Like, then we watched the series and like the, then they did like a sequel or what did they do?
I think they did the first, they did 10 years later and then they did the first day of camp, which is, it's funny. Like, they're all so much older than they were in the show.
So funny.
One of the things I love, he does this thing where he like tries to get up and be all cool and like slaps like his lunch tray or his breakfast tray like off and it makes a mess. And Janine Garofalo like tells him to pick it up and it takes him forever to pick it up. And he's just like, and he's just like, I was like giggling the entire scene.
So yeah, that's one of his better characters. He plays Andy, who's like the jock.
Cool guy.
Yeah, the cool jock. Like, so that, out of all the ones we've done so far, that has to be his best character.
So far. Today,
So far. Let's see. What else do we got? The Chateau, I don't know. Reaching Normal, I don't know. The Shape of Things, 2 Days. Stop me if you know any of these.
No, keep going.
Anchorman.
Well, you missed. He did a huge, I know we're just doing movies, but like he did a big turn on Friends at this point. Too.
Yeah, he was on, he was in 17 episodes of Friends where he was Phoebe's boyfriend, then husband, I think, right? So that's not nothing. Like, at the time, more people were watching Friends than anything else in the world. So that was a pretty big spot for him to be in. And then in 2004, he's Brian Fantana in Anchorman, which, if this isn't his best movie, like, it's in the top three.
It's up there. And it is insane to me how funny I thought this movie was the first time I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the Sex Panther scene with him is probably one of the more quotable on a movie with that is unlimited quotability.
Yeah.
That is probably one of the best scenes in that movie.
He's also just so good as like the on-field reporter. Where he's like, panda watch. And there's like breaking down the panda, like waiting to have a kid, but it's such a perfect ensemble. Like, each guy is awesome at what they're like, whether it's Steve Carell as Brick, the weather guy, whether it's Champ Kind with the whammy, like it's, perfect. And they even did like they had so much footage that they made a separate movie called Wake Up Ron Burgundy. And it's a little choppy at times because I don't think it was really meant to be like this, but it's still like that's another 90 minutes of fucking laughs. And then you have all the stuff on the DVD.
And I remember we both bought the special edition DVD, which came with Wake Up Ron Burgundy.
Yep.
And I remember telling people that there's another Anchorman movie and they didn't believe me.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah, there is.
There's like outtakes. I'm like, no. Like, they shot, because you shoot movies, you shoot like 5-6 hours of movie and then you edit it down to 2.
Yeah.
They shot 9 hours of movie, so much that they could make another movie. And it involves like a bank heist, like a team of bank robbers.
Yeah. It's a crazy villain. Yeah.
There's at one point they become like the rip the lid off of it gang. And that's my favorite scene in the whole movie. Like, rip the lid off of it. Yeah. So if you haven't seen Wake Up Ron Burgundy, it is definitely worth your time.
And then him yelling at Veronica Corningstone is also really good. Like, how much he hates, like, they all hate her at first.
Yeah.
And like, Brian Fantana, awesome.
Is he the one who comes in with the bears?
No,
he says like, bears, Ron. Now you're putting the whole station at jeopardy, because it's Brick who says the bear line, but he's
the one who put
the whole station at jeopardy.
So good. He was also in a movie called P.S. I do not remember that. Tennis, anyone? Don't know that.
Played Lance Rockwood. I saw The Baxter. It stunk.
Okay. Don't remember that one. And so, but still, like, 1 year after Anchorman, The 40-Year-Old Virgin comes out.
another piss yourself movie. I think I've seen this movie. This used to be, you know how you had like this like go to sleep movie?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like you would like put, like you just put on a movie, go to sleep.
Like old school.
Yeah. This was my like go to sleep movie for like 3 years.
It's good. Now it's obviously, it's Judd Apatow, so it's 20 minutes too long, but it's still amazing. And you could make the case that it's Steve Carell's best movie. It might be Seth Rogen, like honestly, like his best role or best movie.
Yeah.
It's fucking hilarious. I don't know if it's Paul Rudd's really, really good in this too.
He's the scene with him dropped after the speed dating thing.
Oh, yeah. You're looking crazy, but Gina. The thing where he's like, oh my God, where
he's trying to put the camera like up his butt. And I am a huge Yacht Rock Michael McDonald fan. And
that's the scene. That's
everybody,
the scene.
Everybody who Jane Lynch's face when he says like, oh, fuck you. Like he's just like the cop. Watch her turn around. Her face is priceless.
So good.
Yeah.
He's like, if you play Yama, be there one more time, Yama, burn this place to the ground. I'm dead serious about this. He's like, get the fuck back to work. He's like, no, I'm super excited about this. It's like, if you play, he like, oh man, the way he sets that whole thing up. So between Wet Hot American Summer, Anchorman, and 40-Year-Old Virgin, three home run movies. He's also really good. Like, again, as like probably like the secondary character in all of them, but whatever. He still crushes it each time.
In the span of like 6 years or 5 years, he just puts out three bangers.
Uh-huh. The O in Ohio. I don't know that one.
Nothing.
Diggers. Don't know that one. The X.
Nope.
Night at the Museum.
Fine.
All right. The 10. I don't know. Reno 911 Miami, not bad.
Sneaky.
Yeah, not bad.
Fucking hilarious movie. Dude, sneaky, Reno, hilarious. And he plays like this, like, his name's Ethan, the drug lord, but he tries to do like this Tony Montana voice, but his real name is like Ethan.
So good.
It's, and by the way, the funniest Dwayne The Rock Johnson has ever been. He's in this movie for like 3 minutes, and it's so funny.
Dude, Reno 911 was a good show.
And this movie is awesome. If you haven't seen Reno 911 Miami, it's super funny.
It's probably on HBO. I think I saw it on HBO like years ago. It's probably on one of the streaming services right now. Then 2007, he's in Knocked Up. And his character is really good in this too. Like, not the main character, but like an important character.
And like, I love this character, but I also like hate Leslie Mann in these movies. She's a bit of a shrew, like this, and like This Is 40. Like, I just...
Oh, that one's way worse.
Like,
that
she treats him like an asshole. You know, and there's one scene where he has the coolest job, too. He's like a talent scout for like a record label. Like, he has to go see like bands. And he's like, yeah, I gotta go see this band like this weekend. And she's like giving him a hard time. And I just felt like, it's my job. Like, it's my job. But there's that one time. And then the one thing that I could completely relate to is when he's telling her like, where were you when you said you were doing blah blah blah? And he's like, I went to go see Spider-Man. Like, I just wanted to go see Spider-Man.
She's like,
Spider-Man. I'm like, I've done that. I've pulled that move where I'm just like, I just want to go to the movies by myself.
Or when she was spying on him and she thought he was cheating on her, and then
he was at a fantasy football draft.
Fantasy baseball, because he's like, that's hey, right. Honey, I got Matsui. But like, yeah, it's that kind of shit. Like, if I was good, because you and I are very similar in that regard. Like, if all of a sudden something happened, like, that's what we'd be doing. You're either doing fantasy football with your friends or fucking going to see a movie.
I'm not doing anything stupid. I'm like at an arcade. Like, like, leave me alone. And it's funny. Like, I feel like he's so likable in this movie that it makes Leslie Mann look like shit.
Yeah, no, that's true.
And This Is 40. Maybe he's like on the iPad and like just taking a shit and she's giving him a hard time.
Which is crazy, because that's Judd Apatow's wife, and he's the one directing these movies, and like producing these movies. And you're like, sure, you want that role? So he's in a few other ones. He plays John Lennon in an uncredited role in Walk Hard: The Dewey Cox Story. I Can Never Be Your Woman, Over Her Dead Body, Forgetting Sarah Marshall, where he plays Kunu.
Kunu,
so good. I got a nickname for you, PPOP.
PPOP.
Like,
my my favorite line, other than yes, I like you from London, because I do that to everybody who has a British accent, by the way.
Perfect.
When he's like, yeah, man, I don't even have a watch anymore. Like, I don't even wear a watch. And Jason Segel's like, oh, that's so cool. And he's like, yeah, I just got the clock on my phone, so I don't really need it.
He's like, all right, don't do anything. Don't do anything. Are you really gonna do more than that? Are you gonna do? Oh, no, no, you gotta do more than that. He's like, don't even try to get up. Just lay there. And the guy's like trying to fucking start to teach him surfing. And then like when he literally spent all day with Jason Segel, and then Jason Segel, like, he's like, he fucking Kunu introduces himself. He's like, yeah, dude, it's me. Like, Peter, we spent all day surfing together. He goes, oh, cool.
Oh, cool.
Like, doesn't even.
And then he says the same line to him. He's like, oh, look, like you got some sadness behind those eyes. Like, he says the exact same thing to him. And he's like, yeah, man, like, I know you. He's
he
like,
does.
Oh,
not
yeah, right on.
Recognize. He spent all day with him. It's the best.
And this is the kind of the same thing. But like, and remember, it's like my favorite line in The Life Aquatic when Owen Wilson like introduces himself to Bill Murray. He's like, oh, Mr. My name is Ned Plimpton. And he goes, okay, man. And like pats him on the shoulder and keeps walking.
Okay. So good.
Okay, man. Yeah. Okay, so, man. Yeah.
Fucking he's great awesome.
Movie. This is a great movie too. How about a good 1-2 smooch punch in this movie?
I think, especially, I don't think either one has ever looked better than in this movie.
No.
Like, it's insane. Kristen Bell, Mila Kunis, it's off the charts. And the guy who wrote or directed this movie, or actually maybe both, went to St. Paul's. Went to our high school. Huh. Like that. I think Nicholas Stoller, I think his name is.
Yes, Nick Stoller. Yep. Yeah.
All right, so that's Forgetting Sarah Marshall in 08. And then fucking same year, Role Models comes out.
And again, the movie they tried to make Paul Rudd the asshole, and they couldn't do it.
Could not do it. And would you say, out of all the movies we've named, especially the comedies, this is the one he was the only time he was probably the main lead?
The main lead?
I would say he's the main
lead. So far.
He kind of splits duties with Stifler a little bit, but I would still say this is Paul Rudd's movie, whereas every other movie is a Will Ferrell movie with Paul Rudd, a Jason Segel movie with Paul Rudd, whatever. This is Paul Rudd's movie.
And then he gets like two in a row here where like he's the guy. And I think this is the leading man test. He definitely passed it. I like Role Models a lot. And I love the scene in the coffee shop when he's like arguing, now you're dumb in three languages. I love that scene. And I love when he's, you know, his girlfriend moves out or whatever, cause he won't marry her. And then he's like doing the thing with like the Minotaur.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, and by the way, this shit's poison. And like, throws like drops the mic and just leaves.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Cause that's like a cool job. And then the whole scene, obviously like the LARPing stuff is fucking great. So
yeah.
I'm in on Role Models. Then I Love You, Man. This is also his movie, and this is where you get slapping the bass. This is good.
Slapping the bass, and like his attempt at calling, is it Sydney?
Yes, Jason Segel, Sydney.
Yeah, he tries to call him just to be cool, like give him a nickname, and none of them, because he calls him one point. He calls him Pistol, so like Pistol Pete, and then he just like Jobin.
Like,
Later's on the men, Jay. Like he starts like trying to like say these cool things, and they're all fucking brutal.
No.
But again, a guy who everyone's trying to shit on. He's the nicest guy in the world, and like Rashida Jones, who plays his fiance, like can't deal with the fact that he's just like a nice guy.
Yep, that's the problem. He's like just Paul Rudd, probably.
And then gets mad at him for wanting to go to a Rush show with his friends.
Are you supposed to see Rush? Right. He's a little Tom Sawyer.
Yeah,
oh, no big deal. All right, so he's in. Let's see. After that, he is in. He's a small role in Year One. Not really.
Movie stunk.
Year One stunk. So did Dinner for Schmucks. I am not a Dinner for Schmucks fan. Did not care for it.
It has its moments, but I just don't believe that anybody is like, it was hard to believe that anyone's that silly. The scene with Zach Galifianakis and him and Steve Carell doing like the mind control. I really see you. Like, I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah. I was disappointed because I liked, I think, everybody that's in the movie, and I was expecting more. Didn't love it. Mm-hmm. He was How Do You Know? Didn't see that.
No.
Our Idiot Brother. Did you watch that one in 2011?
Decent movie. It's actually pretty decent.
That was all right. Like I didn't love it. And again, it's a lot of the same people that he's worked with in the past. Elizabeth Banks is in it. Catherine Hahn's in it. Adam Scott's in it. Rashida Jones is in it. So it's like he's used to being in there. And he is the idiot brother. Like, he is the lead in this one. This is a Paul Rudd movie for sure.
Yes.
Top name on the billing. Wanderlust.
I honestly him and Aniston, Jennifer Aniston, right? And they go to like this retreat. It's like a culty kind of thing, right?
Yeah, it's like nudists, or at least there's something going on there.
Yeah, it's not great.
I think this might have been where Aniston met Justin Theroux, and then they got married, right?
That makes sense.
They were in
that
tracks together. Yep, that makes sense. The Perks of Being a Wallflower, where he plays Mr. Anderson.
Yeah, not for me.
I think this movie's great. I was like blown away.
I didn't remember thinking it was that remarkable, but I was probably in a shitty mood and just wasn't in the mood for it.
No, I just remember I wouldn't think this would be the kind of movie that I like. So I went in being like, all right, what's this going to be? And I know he's very, he's got a lot going on, Ezra Miller, mm-hmm. but like he is really good in this. It's Emma Watson and then Paul Rudd's one of their teachers. I just remember it being pretty good. You know who's also in it is Julia Garner before Ozark. Like a very young Julia Garner.
How about that?
In that? But yeah, that's not bad if you're into that kind of like, you know, well-written, well-acted high school drama type of thing.
Sure.
Then same year, This Is 40, which unfortunately stinks.
It's awful.
It's not good. Prince Avalanche, I don't know.
It was him and Emil Hirsch.
Oh.
From The Girl Next Door. It was actually pretty good. It's a good little indie movie. It's not anything to... You don't need to go see it, but it's pretty good.
Then he starred with Tina Fey in Admission.
This movie bombed. I remember that it was like they were college admissions counselors.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nope.
There's a lot of, I mean, he gets bit by like, there's a lot of like, I'm looking at this list right now of like white people problems, the movie.
Yeah, good point.
And there's like a run right here where it's just like, face. Yeah. Face of like white people problems.
Uh-huh. Then he was in All Is Bright. Don't remember that. Then he was in This Is the End, which I love that movie.
You call that a cameo?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. This movie is criminally underrated.
Yeah, I feel like it came out at a time that like I feel like enough people saw it, enough people liked it, and then it just stop talking about it altogether. It's good. It's really good. Like the idea, like the premise, I like everybody who's in it. It's funny. Like I like it.
And I think Jonah Hill was probably my favorite character in this movie. Well, that character. Yeah. He plays like a douchebag version of himself.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what came out here like at this time that 2013?
Was nothing.
I'm trying to think. American Hustle, The Purge. I'm just going through the list right now.
I was thinking of like comedies. Like, there's no comedies.
I'm going through a romantic. So, About Time, Gatsby. I'm trying to think of like why this movie kind of got as buried as it did.
Yeah. I don't know.
The Internship, Identity Thief, The Heat, We Are the Millers. All these movies are like 10 years old. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Movie 43.
Yeah. No.
Not a Vince Vaughn awfulness.
Yeah, he had a rough patch. We could do Vince Vaughn movies one time. For a while, he was my favorite. Well, I still, mm-hmm. still is. He just hasn't been, although he's good in Curb Your Enthusiasm now. Then he was in Anchorman 2, which, believe it or not, I've never seen.
Really?
That thing was so built up, and they put so much money into the advertising on that. And then I didn't see it in the theater. And then I don't think it was readily available on any streaming services. And then part of me was like, I've seen like Super Troopers 2 and it killed me because it was like so bad. Like I've seen some of these sequels that came out. And I'm like, I love the first Anchorman so much that I'm like, do I even want to do this? I haven't yet.
You're fine. You're fine with that. There are some high points in it. And if you haven't seen the outtakes, and I'm sure you've seen it because they've made a meme of it now of Will Ferrell talking about his frothy ejaculate. That's an outtake from this movie about pleasuring himself to Mrs. Buttersworth.
That's fine.
It has high points, but it's not anything right. then. Right, why are you writing me? Why are you moving along?
Oh, because we got 10 minutes left.
All right, let's go.
That's why. I was gonna say we got a bunch of TV shows and stuff that he's in. They Came Together. Didn't know that one.
It's him and Amy Poehler, but I've actually never seen it.
Then with some other TV stuff, like he's in Parks and Rec. He's in a few other things.
He's great in Parks and Rec.
Then he gets his crack at the MCU, 2015 Ant-Man. And he's awesome.
And when this was, I was nervous because when they announced that he was going to be the lead in Ant-Man, remember we talked about this and we were talking about like how Hank Pym isn't really a likable guy.
Right.
And they're like, no, he's actually playing Scott Lang, who is actually the second Ant-Man. So that makes more sense.
Yeah.
As like this crafty thief.
Yeah, and it, you get a heist movie, and you get a guy who's funny, and you just sort of add him to the MCU, and then you're allowed to play off other characters and future ones, including Captain America: Civil War, which comes out 1 year later, right after Ant-Man. He was also a voice in Sausage Party, which I've not seen. I heard it was terrible. Yeah, that's what I heard. Let's see, Fun Mom Dinner. Don't remember that one.
Nope.
The Catcher Was a Spy.
Nothing.
Ideal Home. Mute. Ant-Man and the Wasp. There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Endgame. So he, unfortunately, Ant-Man obviously wasn't in Infinity War, so it kind of cuts down like the chances of him being in one of the greatest movies of all time. Right. Endgame's great. Don't get me wrong. I just like Infinity War better, which he's not in. He was in the Between Two Ferns, the movie,
which was actually super funny,
which I enjoyed. Yeah. I had no problem with that. And then trying to skip ahead to some of this other stuff. Oh, Ghostbusters Afterlife, which was fine.
I hated his character. It was his character's name. Like, he has like a weird Gruberson. Name. Gruberson. Yeah. Gruberson. No, thank you. Yeah.
No. He was in Chippendale Rescue Rangers.
Yes, he was.
Let's see. And speaking of TV, Only Murders in the Building. He was in the last two episodes, and it looks like he's of season two, and it looks like he's gonna be a big character in season three.
Yeah, and we forget he's done some really good turns on TV too. So he did this, and I started watching The Shrink Next Door. That's pretty good. Did you finish that?
The Shrink Next Door.
It's him and Will Ferrell, but it's like a dark comedy.
No, I don't think
he's like Will Ferrell's shrink.
Oh,
but
shit.
Gets like, yeah, but it's like, it's not.
I'll watch that.
I started watching. It's eight episodes.
All right. What's it on?
It's on Apple TV.
Oh, canceled it. They kicked it up a buck. I canceled it. Oh, laugh it up, Moneybags.
No, I just downgraded my Hulu. I got rid of ESPN Plus because I never watched it.
Yeah.
I downgraded Hulu. So now I just have the bundle that's just Hulu with commercials and Disney Plus with commercials for $9.99.
Dude, I said enough's enough with these fucking... I can't just be taken for a ride every time. Like, sadly, don't tell them this, but if Disney and HBO fucking tripled their price, I'd still probably pay for it. But like...
Yeah.
Apple Plus, I was barely watching anyway. And then I got the email that was like either a buck or two extra. And I like immediately was like, cancel.
You remember what I did? Well, I think I mentioned this in the Yellow Jackets episode. I actually watched the Yellow Jackets series in a 7-day free trial of Showtime.
100%. That's not a bad way of doing it. Not a bad way. And then we got to mention his spots on Conan O'Brien were some of the greatest of all time, where he would, every single time Paul Rudd went on, he would talk up the movie that he was in and then show a clip of Mac and Me. And
the same, with the child in a wheelchair going over a cliff that should have not survived.
And you show that one every time, and Conan would fucking eat it up. In addition to Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania, there is supposed to be a Ghostbusters Afterlife sequel this year as well, which obviously he will be in. So there you go, man. Paul Rudd. Oh, so if we had to do six best movies that Paul Rudd is in,
yes,
I would say Anchorman, 40-Year-Old Virgin, Wet Hot American Summer, Endgame. We got two more. Let's see.
Give me.
Yep. We got two more bad boys to join. That's a big four right there.
It's a big four. I don't want to say anything you've already said.
Do we go role models?
We could go role models.
All right, that's fine.
40-Year-Old Virgin's good enough to be in the conversation.
It's in. I already had that in. What do you think?
I want to say Reno 911, the movie.
Okay.
I think the movie's fucking hilarious.
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
He's awesome. Oh shit. Yep, forgetting Sarah Marshall.
There you go.
Good call in the chat, Jason. Thank you. Yep, I like that. So there you go. There's your big.
It's always great when you have to pick six and you can't. It's tough. Like you have. There are movies that could. Yeah.
There's room. You could have a different six. That'd be pretty compelling. So
like this at the end is good enough to be in there.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then you can also get like, well, all right, what's his single best character? What's the Paul Rudd, either the best character or the first one you think of?
Brian Fantana.
Probably Brian Fantana.
Or Scott Lang.
Yeah, now it might be Scott Lang.
Yeah.
Honestly. But I think Fantana is obviously a pretty good one. All right, there you go. Let us know your favorite Paul Rudd movie or character that he has been in. And again, the guy looks the same. He's been acting since the 90s. He looks the exact same today.
It's a fucking vampire.
Be more like Paul Rudd in every
less Justin Roiland. Yep. More Paul Rudd in 2023.
Pick of the bomb.
Pick of the bomb.
Pick of the bomb.
Pick of the bomb.
All right, Rye, would you like to kick, receive, defer, or you may choose at this time to defend a goal?
I will receive, and I will say that The Last of Us is clearly my pick of the pod for this upcoming week. Okay. Haven't seen a goddamn stitch of this show, but I tell you right now, it's the best thing you've seen all week. I'm just going to say that right now and fucking buckle up.
All right.
And then other than that, I did watch the hatchet wielding hitchhiker.
What'd you think?
It's okay.
Yeah, it's hard to do a documentary, I think, in like an hour, 20 minutes. Like
it kind of glossed over some things. And yeah. At the end, again, I won't give too much away, but at the end, something significant happens, but they kind of wait to like the last 15, 20 minutes to talk to you about it. And they just kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, it's on Netflix now. I don't even vaguely remember that story. And then
I remember, and again, I remember when it came out, but I vaguely remember like the circumstances surrounding it. But it's also, I thought they were going to go that way where they were talking about like how this media machine is just constantly looking for this next reality person, this next person to kind of like exploit, and how this kind of fucking backfired on them. Mm-hmm. And then they shied away from it at the end. Like they started to go down that way and then went another direction. Like,
yeah.
Those people were kind of scumbags. Like the people who were like putting this kid out in the forefront, like without doing their homework or asking him what he thought, they just wanted to make a quick buck off this dude.
Crazy.
And yeah, that bugged me a little bit, but it's worth, if you're looking at it through that lens, it's worth a watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I did watch The Menu, although I didn't love it. So that's not my pick of the pod. Did you watch that yet?
Rye watched it. She said she liked it.
Okay. Not my favorite. A movie that actually your wife mentioned to me on Twitter, and then I watched it immediately after that, is on Peacock right now, the latest from Kevin Williamson, the writer of Scream, I Know What You Did Last Summer, Dawson's Creek. He did a movie called Sick, S-I-C-K, and because it takes place early pandemic, so there's part of you is like, all right, do you want to even watch a movie that involves COVID and references to COVID? Maybe you do. Maybe at this point you're like, fine, I don't give a shit. But so it's a slasher. It's a horror movie. I think it's literally an hour and 23 minutes. Like it is even shorter than like the sweet spot for it.
But I don't need a lot of exposition. You don't need to explain shit. It's like, I'm from what I've seen in the trailer, it's like a bunch of sick young ladies, young people.
Well, it's like two girls, they go to stay at like one of the girls is like rich and they have like a secluded place. So they're going to go quarantine there together. And then let's face it, they may not be alone.
Recipe for a disaster.
It sure was. But honestly, kind of suspenseful. And I liked it. Like there's a part of the movie that I'm like, this is good. And then it kind of like I was losing interest in it a little bit and then it got good again. So I would say a 4 out of 6, like a solid 4. Yeah.
Do you think 30 years from now, people are going to look, are going to ask us questions about like this whole COVID thing and be like, you guys are fucking idiots?
Yeah. That it may be even sooner than that.
Yeah. Like you guys are fucking idiots. Like what the hell was the toilet paper thing? What was that all about?
What was the fucking toilet paper thing about this? So this movie, this I wouldn't say is a spoiler, but there is a scene where the guy's in a supermarket and like there's no toilet paper. There's also a scene where he gets home with groceries and he's like wiping down his cereal. I'm like, oh my god, god
damn it. Yeah.
So there is that. Oh, Matthew mentions that this episode of The Last of Us is 87 minutes long.
That's that you've said enough, by the way. Thank you.
All right. Yeah. No spoilers.
Yeah.
All right. I will watch that right now. So there you go. Thanks everybody for listening to this episode and watching, downloading the whole thing. Tell a friend, tell a dork. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, all at Dork Podcast. You can email us anytime, dorkpodcast@gmail.com, including your should I have bought this, which I promise we'll do at least one next week. So send those bad boys in. Topic TBD. Kicking around, see what we got going on here for January.
And I had an idea. I told you, and I texted you an idea. It could be a way to go.
I like that one. Yeah, that one's good too. We can come up. We can either do top 10 or we can just kind of kick it around. That's a good, good topic overall. But that'll do it for us. Ra, you don't give a shit about anything, do you?
What'd you say?
I said you don't give a shit about anything, do you?
Not really.